when God interrupts. I've pondered that phrase, and I've wondered, kind of an interesting discussion I think we could have is when you think God has interrupted your life. Maybe it has been at a time of great challenge or at a crossroads, like some of the people that we have been seeing these past few weeks. Or maybe it was in the most ordinary kind of circumstances. 3 points for today is very simple. God often interrupts ordinary life. God initiates, we respond. And God's call usually involves questions before it provides answers. And we go ahead in that process. God interrupts ordinary life. We've been looking, this encounters with God, and we have seen people encountering God in special situations. Even our first lesson, Hannah is praying, desperately wanting a child. That is the reference in 1 Samuel. Mary, we don't have this in Scripture, or have our lessons today, she will later, the Magnificat, will later say words that are very similar to what Hannah said, knowing those words were in her heart, and that's why that is paired. But Hannah is somebody, I'm desperate, Lord, help me. We've all been there, and through that, God interrupts. We've seen Hagar at a point of desperation. Her world, I mean, she has no support. Her world seems to have completely blown up beneath her. God encounters her there and says, no, go back. You're supposed to serve. There is a place for Ishmael. Elijah is burned out, exhausted after that triumphant episode on Mount Carmel. God reminds him, you're not alone. God meets him at that point of brokenness, nourishes him, and sends him back. And lets him know you're going to have a helper. Isaiah is in the temple of the Lord at a time of great uncertainty. Now, whether it was, again, regular worship or he was like, I got to go talk to God right now type. We don't really know, but we know he was there. And that's like, yeah, you're at a point of uncertainty. You should be in the house of the Lord. You should be seeking God. There are all of these crossroads. Later, next in the weeks ahead, we'll look at the disciples on the road to Emmaus at a time of disappointment, and then Paul in a time of rebellion. However, for Mary, it seems to be in a very ordinary, everyday life that the angel visits her. Tradition states that she was visited at the well in Nazareth. It's not scriptural, it's just like, you know, she's met. But that is the tradition. On your cover, you will see pictures from the church at the well in Nazareth. And this was the well that people used. It's run by the Greek Orthodox, and it looks Orthodox. The traditional site of the house where they later lived in Nazareth, that's run by the Catholic Church, and they've got something built there too. But it's interesting going to that well because that was the well used. And think about Mary as a young girl. Yeah, that would have been a job to do. She would have gone there. Later, of course, Jesus is born in Bethlehem. They're there for up to 2 years, living in Egypt. By the time they came back to Nazareth, he was walking around, but that's where she would have gone. And maybe he's got younger siblings, and she's saying, now, Jesus, hold your brother's hand while we go get the water. Again, imagine it so ordinary, I cannot help but think of the lines from Gretchen Wilson, as thinking Mary there with other children, where the line goes, I stand barefooted in my own front yard with a baby on my hip. I'm a redneck woman, not a high-class broad. Again, not Mary was a redneck per se, but again, just a working girl there, everyday life. And so in that kind of setting, the Lord interrupted and spoke to her. Sometimes in living ordinary life, God's call comes. A friend once shared with me how this friend ended up chairing a special project committee at the church. The friend had gone to the mall, walked through a department store to get somewhere else, and we've done that. You park by a department store, you walk through into the store, into the mall to get to your place. And the friend noticed the children's department, there were some clothes put on sale, marked down. And thinking, you know, if I knew where I could donate those, I'd buy a few. You know, they're cute, nice, new, and all of that. But I've got my errand to run, and on the friend went. Later, very shortly afterwards, the friend was at a mission committee meeting at the church. Had been asked to serve on that committee. And the pastor said, there's an opportunity we have of providing layette kits, starter kits, for indigent mothers in this county. And the friend said, I thought back to that store, and I said, God's calling us to do this. And the next thing I know, good, and you are in charge of the committee. It worked out all right. But again, ordinary life, living our ordinary lives, opportunities can come our way. And in this second, we see God initiates. Again, thinking of the various call stories in Scripture. Abraham, we believe, was a God follower, but not necessarily looking to make a move. But in that, God encountered him, spoke with him, promised him offspring. He was not looking per se, but God interrupted. Moses has the dramatic call story with the burning bush, the fire, and yet it is not consumed. But at that point, he is looking after the sheep. And like I said, he may have been supervising others that were looking after the sheep. And you know, for him, look, I built a life in Midian. I got a wife. I got a kids. I got a job. Egypt, that's my past. This is my present. And in that, God spoke. David is looking after the sheep. When Samuel comes calling and says to his father Jesse, one of your sons is going to be the next king of Israel. And what's David doing? Ordinary life, his job. And all of this, God initiates, and the people respond. And as a reflection, God's call usually creates questions before it provides answers. And sometimes the answers are only given as what you need to know now. The pattern we have with Mary, there is the announcements, and there's some confusion. A question is asked, an explanation is given, a promise as well, and she obeys. Do this, follow, and she says, let it be done. And that's the only explanation that she gives. It was probably a good thing, as opposed to saying, and you know, next you'll be actually giving birth in Bethlehem. You'll go visit the temple, and Simeon's going to say these wild things to you. After a couple of years, you're going to have to go to Egypt and live for several years before you come back. You're going to be at this wedding in Cana. They're going to run out of the wine. You're going to ask your son to make nicer, to make wine, to provide something. You will encounter the cross and the resurrection and to Pentecost. It's good that she did not get the full picture then. The story is shared that Billy Graham in a conversation said, you know, again, reflecting when I was first had that sense of call to preach. If the Lord said then, and this is all the places that you will go and all the things that you will do, I'm not sure I'd have said yes at that, you know, kind of where I was in that life, where I would have done that. God rarely hands us the full script. We can still seek God in that process. Faith is not the absence of questions. Questions come in the journey of faith. Mary asking how this can be and getting your answer. A reminder that God welcomes humble inquiry. And also related to this is seeing the availability. You may have heard the old saying that God does not call the equipped. God equips those who are called. We see constantly in Scripture the Lord using everyday people. Or even if someone like an Isaiah, who was sort of an upper crust kind of guy, a guy just doing his job. The perfect example is in those that Jesus picked to follow him. And again, seeing that so ordinary through the chosen. Matthew, the tax collector. Peter, the rough around the edges fisherman. Simeon, the zealot. And again, watching him being the piece that talked about him, having him being that training that he was doing to overthrow Rome. You got the guy who sucks up to Rome and the guy who wants to overthrow the empire all together. You see Mary Magdalene, the woman who had many challenges. You see the wife of Herod's steward as a follower, as somebody who is supporting. God's interruption, in turn, becomes life's purpose. Jesus does not only meet us because life is falling apart. Sometimes Jesus comes because life is about to become something far greater than we ever imagined. Some encounters with God rescue us from the crisis, and others recruit us into a life's calling. Reflecting on this ordinary girl in a very extraordinary story, it's a reminder once again to be open to where God may be calling you. What opportunity is right there in front of you as you go about, as we all go about, our everyday, ordinary lives. A reminder to be open. The next call may come to you just as you live your daily life. As you come to the table today, I invite you to have a spirit of openness, saying, Lord, what's next? What would you have me do? In Jesus' name, amen.